We'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon us this evening as we meditate upon your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit will increase our faith in your Son as we meditate upon it. Open our hearts and make them receptive to it, and bless us as he has promised he will do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones and also those who will be receiving the CDs in coming weeks. Service this evening coming from the Village Hall here once again in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, located in the heart and center of God's country. And we've had a really beautiful day today. The humidity was down. The temperature wasn't real high. And the sky was, for the most part, bright blue and white fluffy clouds. It was just one of these beautiful, beautiful summer days in Wisconsin. And we really wish we could have shared that with you. But we're glad to share what we have from the Holy Spirit this evening. And I invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18. And I'm going to read them through first and then a little bit of a flashback and a few extra thoughts. So the reading is as follows: "And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, and hath given you, and they also have possessed, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." Now, this is not the most interesting section we're going to be looking at in the book of Joshua. In fact, as you read through it, it's kind of vanilla. And yet there is something here that's extremely important, I think, especially for us in our own day as we approach the end of the world and the wickedness is breaking out on all sides. First of all, a little flashback. The words here in Joshua 1 refer back to a happening in Numbers 32. And you might want to page back to that, or I'm just going to give you a little summary of Numbers chapter 32. Israel had conquered the kingdoms of the Amorites and Bashan. I believe that's in verse 33, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not sure I've got all these verses right. I sometimes have typos. But it's all in Numbers 32. And these two tribes had a very great multitude of cattle, the two and a half tribes. We're talking about Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. They had very great multitude of cattle. That's in verse 1. And in verse 5, they came to Moses with a request. "Let this portion be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." So the land of the Amorites and Bashan evidently was excellent grazing land. And The Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh had a lot of cattle, so they came to Moses and said, you know, we want this land. Don't make us go over the Jordan. Moses immediately got very upset. He felt that it was a lack of unbelief and an unwillingness to fight. And he voiced his opinion in no uncertain terms. This is in verses 6 through 15. But then after that, when they assured him that they were willing to fight and that they would go over the Jordan and fight with their brothers until the land had been conquered, Moses agreed to it. That's in verses 20 to 24 and 16 to 19, first of all. Well, so they had built their homes there, the buildings they needed for their cattle, and now was the time to make good on the promise. So Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And I think it's an interesting approach he uses. He doesn't plead on behalf of himself, come fight to help me. He doesn't appeal on behalf of the other people. He doesn't even appeal to Moses. He traces it right back up to God. You know, Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. This was God's word, really. So God's the one who commanded you, and Joshua threw it right up there. This is a lesson that the shepherds of our own congregations in our day and age really, really need to follow. You don't plead with a congregation to do something because you tell them to do it, or to do something because it will help other people. You trace it right up to God. We always relate to God on these things. It's what God says, not what a pastor says or a committee says or anything else. A true child of God treasures the commandments of God as much as he does the promises. We love them both equally because the commandments are for our good also. Now, if we didn't know what the response of these people was, we would guess that it would not be very favorable. There's different things that they could have said. We made the agreement with Moses. Now Moses is dead. The agreement is over. Now you're here and Moses is. They could have said that. They didn't. They could have said, well, you know, we've got to stay back and protect our families. That's a God-given thing too. They could have said that, but they didn't. They answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. We've mentioned before, this is far and away the most godly generation that Israel ever produced. And I'm amazed every time I see something like this. Look at the tree that these branches sprang from. Can you imagine what their forefathers would have said? Their own parents, what their parents would have said if Joshua had commanded this? I mean, their parents murmured against God right from the very beginning. They weren't satisfied with the manna. They wanted to go back into Egypt. They wanted the onion and garlics and leeches they had back there and other things. They worshipped the golden calf. They disobeyed the commandments. I mean, they fought God every tooth and nail all the way through. And I don't understand how children like this could come from a generation like that. But this shows the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only answer you can come up with. These people were godly people. Their parents had been buried in the wilderness in unbelief, and the Holy Spirit performed a miracle here. Joshua, whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. Wherever you tell us to go, we'll go. This meant leaving behind their wives and their children for a period of time that turned out to be 7 years. But you see, they had promised to do this. That was the promise that they made. You give us this land, and we will go and fight until the Holy Land is conquered and our brethren have their land. Then we'll go back home. That's the promise they made, and they kept it. Just a few thoughts, and I'm not going to be very long tonight. If I don't have anything to say, I'm going to sit down. I don't have a whole lot, but I hope what I have is important. A few thoughts. Remember, Joshua said, remember. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Remember, the word remember usually is a call to obedience in Scripture. Remember what you promised? Now obey it. Fight. This is the same lesson we learned in Revelation. It's true that the kingdom of God is ours right now. That's true. We have an inheritance that's got our name in it. God is going to bring it to us, bring us to it. We're kept by the power of God. That's all true. But in the working out of things, we're not in it yet. And we've got to fight to get there. It's called the life of sanctification. We've got enemies to conquer. And as we're going to study the book of Joshua, you know, they had to fight for every inch of this land. Even though God had already given it to them, they had to fight for it. And when the enemy saw them coming, they didn't turn and run. They fought. And you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and we've got to fight. So there's a fight that we've got ahead of us also, just like they have. Okay. The disobedient were punished by death. That's what they said. If anybody doesn't obey you, we'll kill them. Cowardice kind of spreads. Fear kind of spreads. They learned that 40 years ago, when 10 of the 12 spies told the people how high the walls were and how big the people were, and we can't take it. And the fear spread like cancer throughout the whole camp. And Joshua and Caleb tried to stem the tide, but they couldn't do it. Well, this has the opposite effect. We're going to go and fight. We'll obey you. And if anybody doesn't, they're gone. I like that. They probably had Deuteronomy 18 in mind, verses 18 and 19. The Lord said to Moses, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. That's Christ, the prophecy of Christ. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So the scribes and Pharisees can say all they want. Now, we worship God. But if they reject his son, they're rejecting the Father also. And he will require it of them. Okay, and just a few thoughts that I had for our generation here. The key thought here is this. These people kept their promise. And that's characteristic of a child of God. On the contrary, children of the devil do not. Christ said, you are of your father, the devil, when he talked to his enemies, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, there are lies and there are lies, but I really believe that one of the things our generation is going to be remembered for is being a bunch of liars, not keeping their word, not speaking the truth. Which one of us hasn't had this experience that you change your schedule around sometimes with great difficulty because someone has promised to come and repair something that needs repairing and they don't show up? How many of you had that happen? I mean, this happens over and over and over again. Appointments are broken, promises are not kept. It's kind of It's an epidemic in our generation. It almost gets to the point where you don't believe what anybody says anymore. Many of the advertisements are blatant lies. The people who write the stuff know it. And we who read it or hear it know it. Don't believe it, because you know it's not true. I was with a burglar alarm company for a few days, trying my shot as a salesman, found out real quick I wasn't cut out for that. But one of the things they told us, and I'm not saying that all salesmen are heathen. I'm not saying that at all. But some of the times, the things that you have to do are unchristian things. And you say, well, it's a little thing, but sometimes it really isn't. We were told to make 4 appointments at 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, you can't be 4 places at the same time. But we were supposed to be in make four appointments in the buildings of these people were 4 appointments for 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, what happens, I asked, what happens if you go to the first one and he's there? What about the other 3? Forget about them. The first one probably won't be there, then go to the second one. If they're not there, go to the third one. If they're not there, go to the fourth one. Hopefully one of the 4 will be there. Well, what if they're all 4 there? Well, you take the one that you're at. Forget about the other 3. Well, so I'm supposed to call 4 people and tell them, I will be at your place at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then not show up at least 3 of them? What if they have gone to a lot of trouble to change things around so they could be there to meet? Then I don't show up. I can't operate that way. But these people didn't think anything of it. It's a business deal. You want to sell, and probably they're not going to show up anyway. Well, maybe they aren't, but what if they do? What if they do? And then you make another appointment with them. Well, so you go to someone you've already lied to, told them you're going to be there and you weren't. How can they believe anything else you say about what you're selling? The whole thing, it just doesn't make sense. And in Jesus' day, this thing had crept into the church big time. Think a little bit. Read between the lines a little bit. Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform thine unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Now how did they do it? Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Well, what they were doing is taking oaths on different things. And there was a kind of a way they did this, where if you didn't know what was happening, you got hooked. Because if you took an oath on the gold of the temple, that meant more than if you took an oath on something else. It's kind of like when we were little. If you made a promise, if you had your fingers crossed, that meant you didn't have to keep it. So you go to somebody, put your hand behind your back, I promise you I'm going to do this, but your fingers are crossed. And if they didn't know it, they got hooked. That's kind of what it was. And it was that way in the churches. I mean, they were liars. They were subtle, devilish. That's what it was. Christ said, let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatever is more than these comes of evil. Or maybe even comes as the evil one. When a child of God says yes, that's what you should mean. Will you do this? Yes. And then you do it. Yes or no, that's all you need. I remember one time over in Beaver Dam, we had a neighbor that had just moved in from Chicago. And their home was built, and they wanted some excavating done in the backyard and some sod laid. And they happened to ask me if I knew of anybody that was good at doing that, and I happened to, so I told them who it was. And they called him over, and he came over, and they told him what he wanted done, and he said, yeah, if you're willing to do that. Next Thursday afternoon or whatever it was, I will be here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll start working on it, finish it in 2 days. He gave him a price. And the guy turned to walk away, and the owner said, well, where's the contract? Don't you need a contract? Don't you want me to make a down payment? No, we don't do things that way around here. If I tell you I'll be here, I'll be here. And you tell me you'll pay me, I believe you'll pay me. And the neighbor that I had, he was amazed at this. You know, back in Chicago, you couldn't live that way. Maybe this is part of small town living. I don't know, but I'd like to think that some of this stuff can still be done today. I really would. My father had a saying that. At the time, I almost thought it was from the Bible. It wasn't, but it could have been. It sounds like it's a proverb. A promise made is a debt unpaid. That's not bad. When you make a promise, man, you trace that right up to God, and you keep your word. His word is as good as gold. Not in our generation anymore. But there are still some. I'd like to believe there are still some. That's all I have for you. That's what I got out of this the sermon text for today. These people kept their word. And that's worth a lot.